was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away.
Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday, everyone. Again, we're usually used to being filled. Hey, what a glorious day, as we just sang. Yes, that was Haven's worship team from last Easter, which Easter is next week, believe it or not. And so I was just having a stir-crazy moment myself and just recognizing where everybody was here and having a good time with that. But I'd have a better time if you guys were all here. Welcome, though, to Palm Sunday 2020, and I cannot remember a time in my whole life with a Palm Sunday where I wasn't gathered and people were there and we had palm branches and everything. So it's a little bit weird, but we do welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's begin with prayer today. Heavenly Father, as we stop today and we recognize no matter what's going on in this world, that you are still God and that we are taken back some 2,000 plus years ago to a place in Jerusalem where you made your triumphal entry and people sang, Hosanna, save us. Praise to the King of David, to the Son of David. Praise and Hosanna, save us. So Lord, that's what we ask for today. I ask for your saving grace to be upon each one of us and everybody who is in the sound of my voice. Lord, we know that this world needs a Savior, and that is you. And so God, during this time together, as we worship in different places and we still connect, in this way we pray for that day where we can all come together and have our own celebration, just praising you together as the body of Christ. Face-to-face, and we can greet one another again. But until that time, God, we know that you're present here with us, and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in your house yells, amen, amen, and amen. All right, again, we are at our Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is one of those great times that seems to set up the rest of the Christian calendar. Right now, what we're going to do, we're going to worship some more, and we're going to have the song that is given to us by our worship team, Mighty to Save, and that's fitting for today, where they said, save us, save us, and we know that Jesus is definitely mighty to save. Let's worship the Lord.
Mighty Savior. Amen. Jesus.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory of the risen King.
Oh, Jesus,
shine your light and let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory of the risen King.
Shine your light
and let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory of the risen King.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen. Mighty to save. He is mighty, mighty to save, and we give God praise for that. As I was saying, he is mighty to save. And we have been spending the last 5 weeks in talking about who is Jesus. And we're going to continue in that. It's our fifth week in that. And when we started this, we were pressing all the way up to this time of year, to today, and then having our celebrations. I want to lift up some in prayer because we recognize that in the midst of everything, we do need to continue and even step up more so our prayers to the Lord. Again, we want to lift up all the medical staff, research and development for a vaccine and a cure for COVID-19, and pray specifically for those who are ill with this. I know over the last several weeks, many people, even within our own community, have been hit with this, and so we definitely want to go ahead and lift those individuals in prayer. Jennifer Lagullo lifted up in prayer that she received a call last night that the nursing home where her dad and stepmother live have an outbreak of the coronavirus. And please pray for the residents and all those in the nursing home. And we recognize those in nursing homes are compromised or even in a higher risk than the general public. So we want to go ahead and pray specifically for them. Also, this week a prayer request came out for Chris Barkley. We pray for who is being treated with pneumonia and also had some complications with the flu and COVID-19. She is home and doing well, and so we praise God for that. Melinda Prentice also asked us for continued prayers for her husband John with his complications with MS. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for these and other things. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now during this prayer time, you know our prayers. You know the things that we are praying about. Some of those may seem minuscule to the point of God that we have events and vacations and things that we have planned, and this whole kind of virus and everything just set us way back. Others of those may be that we were planning bigger days like weddings and anniversary celebrations and birthdays, and they seem to be even higher in those areas. But God, we recognize that some of those plans may change. We ask that you work out all those plans and be with people there. Others are expecting births and are a little bit afraid of what that may mean, bringing a child in this world, but being excited about having a child. Others are dealing with getting the diagnosis that they never thought they'd have this, that it was something distant from us. We have others who are afraid for elderly parents and others who are in nursing home or other facilities where we've heard previously that outbreaks can be so deadly. We hear on the news and from people that the numbers are going to continue to go up and it's going to get worse. And God, right now we come to you and we ask for your Holy Spirit to intervene in a powerful and mighty way. That we call on the Lord to heal our land and heal each of us as we humble ourselves before you. So God, for Jennifer Lagullo and her prayers for all those that are there, for Chris Barkley and for John Prentice and for all others who right now we lift up before you, God, for those who are the hands and feet and the voices of your healing in medical staff. God, we pray for your protection and your guidance upon each of those. And for all the things, Lord, we give you praise in the midst of these circumstances. We thank you that you are a good God, and on this day, we thank you for that day 2,000 plus years ago where you rode into Jerusalem that set everything in motion for that very first, as we call, Holy Week. And today, God, we don't only recognize the celebration of the palm branches save us, but we also recognize that this journey that led to your death also led to our healing, because in a week from this day, so long ago, you rose from the dead, and we'll celebrate that next week. And we celebrate it every time when we come together. So God, just be with us through the rest of this time. Wherever people are, let them feel comfort. Let them not be afraid, and let them know that they have a God who loves them. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, everyone. There are a couple announcements that we do still have. Again, if you can still continue to give to Miriam's Table, we would love for you to do that. I know some of you have been giving to our Haiti ministry, Haven CC, Haven Community Church in Haiti, a few of those churches. I talked to Pastor Oog via Facebook the other day, and he was asking about us. He's praying for us and says he really is looking for God to do a miracle in us. And he said he thanks God for us each and every day. So you can continue to give into those areas of ministry. Also, don't forget locally. I know we have some other things like Community Kitchen and also the Paris Foundation. They are now doing some brown bag lunches. So if you'd like to connect to that, please go ahead, email to info@havencc.org, and we will go ahead and make sure that you are connected if you still want to go ahead and give in those areas. A couple other areas I know that you've been receiving, and for parents of kids, our thanks to our Sunday school leadership with Kate Allen, I almost said Kate Ray, her maiden name, but Kate Allen, and her leadership and all the teachers there. Thank you so much for all the work that they are doing. And if you know others that would like to get connected to that, please go ahead and do so. Utilize those at-home Sunday school materials. And if you need more information about that, you can email Kate, or you can also go ahead and look at havencc.org/havenkids. This week, as I said, is our Holy Week, and we don't want it to just go by. So this Friday evening, we will have what has become one of our most high points for many people that they love. They told me several times since we've been in existence, it's their favorite service. And we're not going to deny that. We're going to go ahead and do it. We're going to do it from the distance learning kind of way, or distance social distancing. We will have our Good Friday service at 7 p.m. Right here online. And hopefully you'll connect in. And we also will have our Easter sunrise. Usually We usually have our Easter services, and we usually have two of them. Over the last several years, we've had two of them. Due to the social distancing and not being able to gather together, we are going to go ahead and continue to have our 10 a.m. Easter service. Normal time, I will be here with the bare bones couple of people that helped bring this to you, and we're thankful for them. We are all very far apart, but again, we are going to celebrate the Lord's resurrection in that. In the midst of that, there will be something downloadable for everybody that'll probably be up later today. It is a something I put together, a journey through Holy Week. We will put this all on our Facebook, and we will also put this on our website, havencc.org, and it'll be a PDF that you can print out, and it is a journey through the Holy Week. With that contains each day, Palm Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which is Thursday, the evening where Jesus was, Good Friday, where he gave his life up for us. On Thursday, again, is where we celebrate communion, the Seder meal. And Saturday, which is known as the Forgotten Day, where Jesus was the day of preparation, where he's in the tomb, and then ultimately culminates with Resurrection Sunday. With doing so, we are also making an attempt that we have some packets that we have that we're going to try to get out to as many people as we can within the next week. In those are contained a couple different things. There will be a palm cross recognizing today and also recognizing that he saved us through going to the cross. There is a card with a nail recognizing our nailing service that we do on Good Friday. And then how do you do communion in a COVID-19 world? Well, you do that through a pre-packaged communion cup and wafer, and we have a couple of those. Also, though, I'm going to say if you have larger families and you're together and you want to celebrate with us on Good Friday, because that's what the communion cups are for, our Good Friday service, and we're going to try to get as many of these out. We apologize that we don't get them to everyone, but we're going by whatever information we have in a short amount of time. We suggest, hey, just pull something out of the fridge, grab some bread. I will go ahead and give the liturgy, and we know that the presence of Christ will meet you there. Also in there will be a track called He Did This For You, and it's from Max Lucado, and he's going to talk about what Christ did for you, and it will contain one of our Holy Week guides as well. So be looking for that this week if we can. We're going to try again. We're going to apologize in advance if we don't get those to every household, but we are doing the best we can with a small, bare-bones group of people that are doing many things. But just to let you know that we love you and we want to bring people together as much as we can. The other thing that I want to do is draw your attention to our COVID-19 resources page. Again, we have some information about COVID-19. There's the video that I put up the other week. Also contained in there is information that if someone is in need, in dire need about that, we can go ahead and connect. Also at the bottom of that page, we have what we've been involved with, and I really hope that everyone is taking this seriously and going ahead and being involved in Unite 714 based off of the scripture. And so what we want to go ahead and we join with thousands upon thousands of other Christians around the world. And so today, before we begin the sermon, there is a prayer for 7:14 a.m. and 7:14 p.m. And we ask that you pray that. The sheets are there. We are finishing up week 2 today, and tomorrow week 3 will be up so that you can download later today or early tomorrow, and you can begin to pray this prayer with Christians all around the world. And I am going to begin with the prayer for today. Even though it's not at 7:14, I want to let you know how long it takes, and it's just a simple thing that we can humble ourselves and join together and pray to our God, and he can heal our land. Let's pray. Lord, we humble ourselves before you today in prayer. Our hearts are saddened by the reports coming from our nation and around the world of the continued spread and devastation of COVID-19. So today, we draw near your throne of grace in confidence and faith of knowing that, God, you will hear our prayer. And your word says that though we were a people who were once in darkness without you, you were merciful to us and called us out of the darkness into your marvelous light. You made us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a God who is full of mercy and compassion and grace. You said that we can receive mercy in our time of need. Well, Lord, we need your help. And we cry out to you because our world is in a desperate place. COVID-19 has created a dire time of need, but we are standing in faith on the promises of your word. And so today, we are believing that you appointed the Old Testament priests to stand in the gap as intercessors, to see plagues and disease eradicated, and to bring healing. So you will use your church to intercede and see COVID-19 eradicated from the earth. And therefore, we stand together as your royal priesthood and take authority over the COVID-19 virus. And we pray COVID-19 will be eradicated. The victims will be healed. The doctors, nurses, scientists, first responders, and everyone who is vulnerable will be protected. And we ask this and claim this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And everybody together says, amen. Amen. All right. And that is our prayer. Not just so that we can go back to normalcy. And my prayer is this. My prayer is that we don't go back to normalcy. because I think in many ways we've just taken for granted this life that God has given to us. We've taken for granted the health that we have. We've taken for granted the technology that we have that allows us to overcome so many things. And my prayer is that we appreciate life a little bit more. We appreciate God and our churches a little bit more. We appreciate the face-to-face fellowship that we have with people a little bit more. And yes, that we appreciate just walking into a store and not having to stand in line and have everything spread out. But we appreciate all things a little bit more. And we might appreciate our family a lot more that we haven't really attacked anybody together as we've been cooped up for a while. But hopefully you've enjoyed some time with them. All right. A lot of things we had to do and go through. So I want to continue today with our series, Who is Jesus? And we really want to see exactly, and we'll get to our scripture lesson in a bit, and there's a lot of scriptures in today, but we want to talk about who Jesus really is and what he did. And one of the reasons why we want to do that is because many of us may have a messed up or an incorrect view of who Jesus is. And the problem with that is if we have an incorrect view of who Jesus is, then our relationship with him will also be incorrect. Many of us have a relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that is based off of fear, that he's just waiting to get us. And I don't have very good relationships with people who are waiting to get me. So we want to get it right. And so week one, we talked about Jesus is my BFF, my best friend forever. Week two, in the first weeks where the COVID-19 virus really began to hit us as a people, we talked about he is my healer. In week three, Debbie gave us a message about he is my teacher. Last week, and I got a lot of great feedback from people, and it's one of my favorite images of Christ, that he is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. And so today, what are we going to talk about? Well, today we're going to talk about that who is Jesus? He's coming again. He's coming again. And just as a precursor, in case you want to check it out, and I hope you do, on Good Friday, this Friday at 7 p.m., we will have a Good Friday service online, as I said, and we will be talking about Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. We're going to talk about Jesus as the Lamb. And so please don't miss that. It's, again, one of the most meaningful messages that we could possibly have about Christ, okay, and who Jesus is. And so our theme verse comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's from the Message version. And if it pops up on your screen, I'd ask you to go ahead and read along aloud, not a quiet, with me, if you will. And it says, "Do you remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I did not try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophies. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. And what was it? First Jesus and who he is. And then Jesus and what he did, and what we'll talk about on Good Friday, Jesus crucified." So today we are going to talk about Jesus. He's coming again. And that's exactly what that first song for our countdown reminded me of. One day the trumpet will sound with its coming. One day the sky with its glory shall rise. What an incredible thing that Jesus is coming again. But why talk about this topic? Well, because it's mentioned the most in the New Testament. It really is. Out of the 27 books of the New Testament, there are 23 that talk about Jesus returned or the end times. There are 300 verses in the New Testament alone about Jesus coming again and his return. And when you talk about this, there are two approaches that people take. First, there's the people that when you talk about end times or you talk about Jesus' return that people get really excited and they want to talk about it. You're the ones who want to talk about the Antichrist, talk about 666. You want to talk about the mark on the forehead and everywhere on the palm of your hand and all this kind of stuff, and you really, really want to talk about that. You love that. Actually, you can spend your whole rest of your day if you want to and find out how are there some people that are taking the whole COVID virus, that they've actually got corona, meaning 666, and they're talking about the vaccine that we're all going to get is going to be the mark of the beast, and we're all going to have this, and people have just gone on any kind of time in history. There are some people who just cannot wait to talk about the end times. I remember in 1999, right before 2000, we had the Left Behind series that was a really good job of taking scripture and applying what it may be like when the rapture happens, or when Jesus returns. Not the rapture, but when Jesus returns. And so in that process, people started to go ahead and we had these people who were millennialists who wanted to connect and attach that. And there's some of us that really love those things. Others of us have the opposite approach, where we want to avoid 666. We want to avoid the mark of the beast. We want to avoid any conversation about that. Why? Because we're freaked out about it and we're scared to death about it and we don't want to know anything about it. And I remember as a kid being part of that generation in the late 70s, early 80s that did exactly that. Freaked you out about it and scared you to death. Why? Because they had these movies that did those things. Some of you may be laughing right now because you're thinking about them. We had some of these that in these movies, you had The Image of the Beast, The Prodigal Planet, The Years of the Beast, Thief in the Night, were just some of them. And they were interesting, but they were terrifying to somebody who was young. They had people getting their heads cut off and getting marks of the beast. And they had people who were standing there and you would look. And I remember the scene, there was a sink in the bathroom that had a razor going because one person was out of here. And the people were like, where did you go? And it just scared you to death. You're like, I'll accept Jesus. I'm scared to death. And that's how many of those things were done back then. So many of us, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about a God of love. We want to talk about how Jesus, he walks with me and talks with me. And we want to talk about a shadow from the rooftops, those things. We do not like to talk about the end times thing because it's terrifying. The other thing is it's confusing in many times. And so what I want to do is in many times as this was shared with me in growing up through videos and books, maybe some of you remember the comic books. Remember the church, the ones with the little track books where the people had no face and they would scare you to death by the people with no faces and they were burning, busting hell wide open. I was scared to death of those kind of things, all right? So what I want to do today is I want to go ahead and I want to be able to share this in a way that's not scary, in a way that's not terrifying, in a way that's not obsessive, that you're going to look for the Antichrist under every single tree and shrub. But I want to share with you in a way that can be encouraging, that we as Christians were told to pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And the early church was excited and lived in an anticipation that today could be the day when Jesus returns. So I want to start with this verse, and we're going to have a lot of scripture verses today. So if you like notes, you like things to go to, hopefully you'll enjoy what we're going to share today. So again, when I started to think about these end times things, I got to say as a kid and as a teenager, when I heard about Jesus returning, I wasn't very excited about him returning because I kind of wanted him to wait till I experienced life a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, God, yeah, send him back later. Let me get married. Let me have children. Let me work. Let me grow up a little bit. That's the thing. I want to live life some. And for some of us, we may have this image that to go to heaven means that I'm going to be some chubby thing with wings, that I'm going to sit around and play a harp on a cloud all day. And I don't know about you, but being chubby and playing a harp are two things that don't excite me in my life. And so it doesn't sound much fun. Heaven doesn't sound like much fun of a place where I'm sitting on a cloud going, bling, bling, bling. I would get very bored after about 5 minutes, and hopefully ADHD goes away in heaven, so I could play it a lot longer. But I wanted to live life. I wanted to experience things. And so for many of us, if that is our image of what heaven is like and what happens when Jesus returns, no wonder we don't want him to come back. No wonder. I didn't want to go from the fun of this world to the boredom of playing a harp or whatever in heaven. And so I began to go ahead and think, and I just wanted to unpack it a little bit differently today. And so I want to give you a backstory before I share the scripture lesson today. That Jesus came. He lived in a physical human being. As we shared in the first week, the last 3 years of his life, he shared the gospel of salvation, of love and truth and repentance. He died on the cross. Paid our sins once and for all, satisfied the wrath of God through his cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he arose from the dead. And then after he arose from the dead, he spent 40 days just sharing, teaching his followers, popping in and out of rooms in his glorified body. And then after that, he gave them what we call the Great Commission. Going to all the nations, baptizing, et cetera, et cetera. And then he ascended into heaven. And that's where we are here. Now, I want to let you know something. If you want to see a good continuity, the Gospel of Luke ends with Jesus' ascension, and it picks back up in Acts. Matthew also adds some of the things that Jesus said. That's where you find the Great Commission. And so Jesus taught people, and he takes them to a mountaintop, and here he is. He says, hey, I want to tell you some important things. And then we come to this section in Acts where we pick up where Luke and the other Gospels left up. And here's what it says here in Acts chapter 1. After he said this is all the teaching and the last words that he said, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. So in other words, he's giving his final words. He says his final words, and then he starts to go up, and they're watching him. And he goes up, and he goes up through the clouds, and they're still watching him. Now, he told them to go back to Jerusalem and wait and pray, and then he'll send the Holy Spirit, but they're still standing there. So his disciples and others are standing there, and it says, they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand looking into the sky? So these two men dressed in white are angels. So what we have is you have Jesus going up, they're standing there watching it, waiting, and he said he's going to prepare a place for them. They might have been like, okay, we're going to wait. And I believe that if he hadn't sent the angels down, you would probably have a couple skeletons just standing there looking in the sky, even though he told them to go back. So they're standing there. They come down. They said, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, look at this verse here, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus, who ascended, we call it the great ascension, ascended into heaven through the clouds, the angels say, hey, you saw him go this way, guess how he's going to come back? The exact same way. Now, there's two things that we learn there. One is, Jesus is coming back. He is coming back the same way he left. And so that's where we're going to be today, and we're going to spend time in this whole day. This whole day in this message today. The Bible and Jesus coming again have entire chapters and books dedicated to this. Actually, in Scripture, one out of every 30 verses deals with end times and or Jesus' return. There was a poll that was done several years ago about Jesus' return. And it was about 8 or 10 years ago. And they said 48% of the United States definitely believes that Jesus is returning. 27% said that he probably will return. 20% believe that it would happen within the next 40 years. So now they would believe the next 30 years or so. 10% said it would probably not happen. And 38% said it definitely would not happen. There's another interesting poll that I saw that also said that 62% of the people believe in a literal return of Jesus. However, of that 62%, only 40 follow Jesus. I don't understand that. Why would you believe he's returning and then not follow him? I don't know what they're trying to figure out there. So what I want to do is, we have a lot of people who believe in that, and we should, but there's a lot of mixed feelings and understanding about this. So what I want to do is unpack some scriptures and I'm going to give you some extra verses, too, that you can jot down that are not in your worship guide or your bulletin. And I'm going to do that by starting with three things that we can expect about Jesus' return. Okay? Here we go. Number one, he will come unexpectedly. The questions that we all want to know is, when will it happen? Many years ago, there was a guy named Harold Camping. And he told people that Jesus was going to return in May of one year. Many people sold their life savings and everything else. And guess what? It didn't happen. And they said, oh, I messed up on the calculations. And he said October. And guess what? Jesus did not return then either. So we want to know, when's it going to happen? What is it like? And all those questions. Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 3. It says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, which is important, because this is where he would come from into Jerusalem on this day of Palm Sunday. The disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? They wanted to know when, where, how, who, what signs. And Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to tell you because it's not for me to know. I'm not to know. Only the Father knows the time and the hours. Now, wait a second. Isn't Jesus God and in God Jesus? Yes, but the thing here is Jesus was voluntarily submitting to the will of his Father. And so what Jesus does say is he says that, let me give you an example. Just like for those who have been pregnant and given birth, there are birth pains, labor pains that you begin to have in. So when you start to have those contractions and those things happen, you know that the baby is on the way. It may not be right then, but the baby is on the way. And Jesus said there will be birth pains to let you know. In other words, there are clear signs that will occur to let you know. Now, one of the things is that's interesting is we live in a time that all these sign of the times have been fulfilled. We could literally be the generation that sees Jesus return. Now, many of you can say, well, Jack, everybody could go ahead and do that because what do we have? We have wars. We have rumors of wars. Yeah, we always have those. We have earthquakes. We have other kinds of things. We have diseases that are growing and all kinds of things. There is, if you want to read about this, read Matthew chapter 24. And there's several of these, and I'm going to share with you what they are. It says that there'll be deception. Many people will come and say, I am the Christ. There'll be dissension, which is wars and rumors of wars. There'll be devastation where there's famines, and we've had an increase in famines. There will be disasters and earthquakes. Do you know that they're showing that there are more and more earthquakes? And what people say is the earth is groaning. The earth is dealing with the things that are going on and the fallen nature that we have. There is death for people who believe in Christ. Disloyalty, that people will hate one another for just the simplest things. False prophets, they're everywhere. Deflection, people will turn away from God and each other, and declaration. And in Matthew 24, it leapt off of the page of me, 24:7, that they said there will be a rise in diseases. And we've seen those things time and time again. But mainly, there's one that all these others could have been in except for this one, and this is what is available to us today. Many of us today, we were just talking with a few of us that are here today about if this had happened in the 70s or 80s, we wouldn't have the ability to continue with worship or work or other kinds or school or other kinds of things. because of our technology that exists now. And so one of the things that we see is in Matthew 24:14, Jesus makes a statement that his return will not come until there's an opportunity for the gospel to be preached to all nations. You say all nations. The word actually does not mean like borders and countries. It means, the term is ethnos, where we get our terminology ethnicity. And what it does, it just means people groups. And according to missiologists, they believe, like for instance, in a country, you can have a number of different ethnic groups or a number of different people groups. And so what you have, missiologists and sociologists believe that there are some 2,000 people groups on earth in some 200 nations. And so what Jesus was saying is that until all those areas have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Here's the thing right now. The thing, due to our technology, there are borders that cannot keep certain things out. The gospel is being preached all around the world to every single ethnos because of things like satellite and internet and other kinds of things. There is a group that is based, some of them are based in Maryland, a group called Sat7. I challenge you to take a look at it. Their job and what they believe God's calling is to broadcast through satellite into Islamic countries in the Middle East the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in areas where you used to be able to shut down areas and places, the gospel is being preached in all those worlds. So this is the generation that has seen everything completed in our time. Matthew 24 continues to say, here's what will happen. Because a lot of times we get so focused on the stuff of this world, and it says, two men will be in a field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, and the other left. And Jesus says, therefore, and remember where there's therefore, you want to see what it's there for, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So we recognize that this is one of those things, those areas that may bring fear to us. But I'm going to give you an extra verse if you like more scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 2. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. You see, we are living in unique times. We're living in times where, I've seen some charts based off of Christian conversions that they have from the earliest point to now. And up till about 2010 or so, it would steady go. And then we have this dramatic steep incline in mayors. You say, but Jack, wait a second. I'm seeing people less faithful here. But let's face it, we don't see the rest of the world. Christian conversions are exploding around parts of the world. And yes, there is more evil and more disdain for God. Equally around the world, there seems to be a more division. Do you realize that estimates are daily? There are 35,000 Chinese conversions. People in China are converting to Christianity. There's been a tremendous, dramatic growth in certain areas of the world between 1970 and 2020. Countries like Albania, areas of Russia, Angola, Benin, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Mozambique are experiencing growth in Christianity where they were formerly in communist countries. In the Western Hemisphere, the largest growth of Christianity is occurring in Guyana and Suriname, but the biggest growth that is having revival is in the country of Cuba. Yet even with that, there are 142 countries with absolutely no growth that happen in Christianity at all. And there are declines in many of the traditional Christian countries, the United States, New Zealand, and Australia. We are living in intense times, and he's going to come unexpectedly. And so we need to go ahead and embrace, because we do not know when he will return. Number two that we can expect is he will come to get his church. The main reason why Jesus is coming is not to do bad stuff to the earth and because he's had enough, but he wants to come get his church. He wants to come get you. In John 14:3, it says, He told them, "And if I go, I prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, it says this, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud voice and a loud command, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, the dead in Christ will rise first." Let's look at our next scripture lesson here. "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air, and so we'll be with the Lord forever." Now, I got to tell you, all that scary stuff that I had in the movies and the comics and the tracks and everything when I was a kid, go by the wayside because of this verse. Because here's what I see. I see that the dead in Christ rise first. What does that mean? It means that Paul was saying that the people were worried about those who died before who were Christians. What happens to them? But wait a second, Jack. Paul said that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Yes and yes. What this means is simply this. This body is flesh. This body is not good. This body is in the ground. But my spirit goes to be with the Lord. But here's the cool thing. Because of Jesus and his resurrection, when he comes again, those who believe in him have a bodily resurrection. And so those people who are at present with God right now in spirit, their bodies will, boom, they will have a glorified body just like Jesus did in that resurrection. And if you want to read Matthew, after his resurrection, other people had that resurrected body. And so I get a new body, hallelujah. So do you. And here's what happens. Not only do the dead in Christ rise first, but think about those who died. I get to meet them in the air after that. I'm really excited because I get to fly, and I have loved Superman for a long, long time. And I hope I'm wearing a cape and blue tights in my new glorified body, and I am up, up, and away, soaring up there. And guess what I get to do? I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to meet them. I get to meet them in the air. So what happens is Jesus says, "Let's go, dead." Boom. They get their glorified body. And then I get to soar up and all other believers, and I get to meet my grandmother who died when I was in college, who died of cancer when I was in college. My grandmother who, when my dad was in an accident and they came out and told her that her 10-year-old boy had died, she said, "Oh no, my God won't let my son die." I get to meet her in the air. I get to meet my grandmother, my other grandmother, who was the epitome of a grandmother who just gave love and care so much. I get to see her again. I get to see my grandfather, who I never got to know very well because of his dementia in this world. I get to see him in the fullness of who he is in Christ. I get to see my friends who believed in Christ, who have died early deaths. I get to see them and I get to be with them and I get to fly doing it. You see, I'm not afraid of all that other stuff because I get to rise and fly. And I get to be there with them. And ultimately, I get to see Jesus and I get to soar with him and I get to be with the Lord forever. So whatever all those fire and billows of smoke mean, it fails in comparison to the fact that those loved ones that I love who died in the Lord will be with me and meet me. And then I get to be with Jesus forever. You see, what Jesus is doing is, it's not about the harps and everything. He is going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. No harps, no wings, no choir practice, thank God. None of that. But he puts back what he started in the beginning. The original plan that he had for Adam and Eve, we get to live out with him. And guess what? Jesus and God are King of kings and Lords of lords. And guess what? There's no more stuff. The old order has passed away. Guess what? There is and there are no more elections or politics. Hallelujah, praise God, because Jesus is our leader and our president. There's no more crying. There's no more pain. Some of you right now are sitting at home and you've been dealing with pain day in and day out. Some of you have not been able to attend a church service. This is normal for you because of pain and illness that you've been dealing with. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more money problems or woes. There'll be no more funerals. You know why? Because there's no more death. There'll be no more traffic. There'll be no more medicine. No more hospital. And praise God, no more taxes. None of those things will be here. You know what it'll be? Pizza and chocolate ice cream all day. You don't gain a pound in your body. It is awesome. And you can have it all the time. The light is always on. It's always open. And you can have all those good things. Because as I read about heaven, there is a banquet table. And I love to eat. And I love to eat good things. And guess what? Because the old order of things has passed away. You see, if your view of heaven is that it's just choir practice and playing the harp, I don't want to go either. I'm going to just say boo to that. Do you think Jesus promised us a fullness of life here and then it's not going to give us something better there? To me, sitting on a cloud playing a harp is torture. That sounds more like hell to me. But when we read the truth, when we read the truth that we get to soar and meet them in the air and be with the Lord forever, and we have a heavenly banquet table, and we have a house, and we have the new earth and the new heaven, and Christ rules, and the old order of things passed away, man, I am excited for that, and I hope you would too. Let's look at this extra verse from Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." You see, Jesus had something that he prepared for us before the world was ever formed that fell because of sin. And he's just been waiting and waiting and waiting to give it back to us. Have you ever had a gift that you want to give to somebody and you can't wait to give to them and you're so excited to give to them to see the reaction? Jesus has had that since the beginning, since even before the beginning of the world. And he's just been waiting to give that to you. The third thing is this. And this was not fun. He will come to judge the earth. This is a tough one. Because we live in a time where we don't like to be judged. Don't judge me. You pay attention to yourself. Don't be judging me. Who do you think you are? You ain't perfect. Don't judge me. Do not judge lest you be judged. Anybody remember that? Do not judge lest you be judged. Do not judge lest you be judged. And then we go around and we start talking about other people. Anybody remember this? This is how we exist. You ain't perfect, but Jesus is. Jesus is perfect, and part of his return is that we will be judged. I'm not a big scholar in Revelation. I've done several Bible studies over the year, and the more I look, the more there's confusing at times. But let's read some of Revelation chapter 20. And it's an extra verse for you. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heaven fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and that's where you want your name written in it by salvation in Christ. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each person, what does it say? Was judged according to what they had done. Why are they being judged? Why are people being judged? Because God is just. God is just and good and right. But don't get too upset about it if you're a believer. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. It says, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. Stop real quick there. You ever had anybody that gives you some problems in life and you just wish somebody would take care of it? Your daddy will. I'm a father, as many of you know, and several years ago, I'm a pastor, but I'm also a daddy. And one of the things about being a daddy is I like to protect my kids. I also let them deal with some stuff, but you know, sometimes daddy gets his air out. A couple years ago, one of my children was dealing with someone, and they were okay, but they weren't too terribly upset about it. But they were just saying that somebody was saying things about them. One of my girls, all right? So anybody, you know, daddy's girls, okay? Daddy just goes, okay, let's take care of this. So one of them was calling them an ugly ogre at a time. And we were out eating one day, and my daughter was sitting there across the table from me. And she looks at me and she whispers something. I said, what did you say? She said, that's the guy who called me a couple tables over. That's the guy who called me those names. And I did what every good father, maybe not a good pastor, did. I said, that guy right there is the one who called you names. That one sitting right there. And she's going, shh, shh, be quiet. Now, and I said, oh, he's the one. That's the one you're talking about. Well, needless to say, I don't think he ever said another word. I never went over and said anything to him or anything, but I just said it loud enough. And like a year or so ago, we were somewhere, and my daughter said, he's still scared of you. I said, who is he? Because I had even forgotten about it. And she said, he's the one that you said really loud in the place where you were eating. And so what I'm saying here is I ain't perfect. But number two, what I'm saying is, as an earthly father, when somebody attacks my kids, I want to take care of it. So how much more and how much greater is it that Jesus, that God our Father, wants to take care of those things? It says he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. And so I'm glad to recognize that this individual has the fear of God and of Daddy Jack in his life. It continues on in 2 Thessalonians 16:10. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes. And that's not a verse that we get really excited about. The one about flying in the air and meeting those loved ones, we get excited about that. This one about people going to everlasting destruction, we don't like. We don't like at all. We don't cheer and go, woohoo! More likely, the reaction is, man, that's harsh. That's real harsh, but it's really not. You say, wait a second, did you just read what I did? Let me share something with you. Jesus is going to return. Judgment is going to be part of that. But God is patient, and he's loving. He wants to give an opportunity for one more. He's like the horse is ready. The trumpeter is ready to go. The archangel is like, let's go. And I think maybe it's sometimes God maybe go, we ready? And Jesus goes, wait, one more. Just let me reach one more. Let my church embrace what they're supposed to do and reach one more. God says, okay, get ready. Wait, one more. Peter tells us that is his wish that all come to repentance and be saved. He is loving. He is merciful. And God made a way so we don't have to go through this judgment. And it's through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross where he paid for my sin and your sin once and for all. That's why we celebrate Good Friday. That's why we ultimately celebrate Easter Sunday. Because he paid my price. And hell, let me explain something to you. Hell is not for people who are bad. You say, wait a second, Jack. I've always thought it was for evil. No, hell is not for people who are evil and bad. Hell are for people who just wanted to pay their own price. People who just wanted to go ahead and pay the price of their own sin. That's what hell is for. All they wanted to do was say, hey, they're no worse than you and me. Scripture says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all deserve sin, but God is merciful, meaning that he gives to us what we don't deserve. The saddest thing is, those who reject Jesus, this is their judgment. Hell is a literal, constant place of torment. Bishop Felton May, who was a bishop in the United Methodist Church, he was my father's district superintendent years ago, used to have a saying, and he would tell people, church, we need to love the hell out of people. Literally, we need to love the hell out of people. You see, for those who are Christians and believe and embrace the gift that God has given to them in Jesus Christ, judgment is quick. This, it's like they go ahead and, Jack, you got to pay for your sin. Jesus says, whoa, 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 wait a second. Pay for it, Father. See my hands. See my side. See my feet. Because he still bears the scars for the healing of the nations. Oh, he goes up. Say, oh, nope. Pay for that. So it's real quick for me because my name's written in the book of life because of my acceptance of Jesus Christ. So we don't get to heaven by what we've done, but we get to heaven by what Christ has done, his completed work on the cross. I found this verse in Isaiah 55, which says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Why do we seek the Lord while he's near? Because there'll be a time where we can't do it anymore. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, he will freely pardon. God just wants to love you. Jesus is saying, one more. One more. None of us deserve it. But guess what? Jesus is coming. And it may be soon. So what do we do? If he is coming, and if it may be soon, I want to give you some steps. I don't like just giving you stuff, information, and not giving you steps or applications for your life. And so let's look at this scripture lesson. I find it a really cool scripture lesson right here from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. And so what I'm going to do is pick up where Paul left off, and I'm going to give you a charge for applying to your life how to be ready, because Jesus is coming again. I'm going to give you a charge, and I'm going to give you three things in this charge. Number one is this: reach people. It was one of the last things that Jesus said. Go into all the world, baptizing them and teaching them everything in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission. Reach people. This is our number one assignment as a church. I've often heard the statement that if you're in business and your business is to sell widgets, how are you doing at selling widgets? That's how you tell. If we look at our church, Universal, we see that there's some areas I shared about how in certain areas of the world that conversions are going through the roof, yet in our own country that statistics are showing that people are dropping away from the faith and turning to other kinds of things. So how's our business? We need to ask that question time and time again. We need to do whatever we can, short of sin, to help people not decide to pay for their own sins. This is both easy and not easy. It's hard because it takes effort. Sometimes it's frustrating because you'll pour yourself out to people. And I gotta say this, in our country, it is so easy to be a Christian or not be a Christian. It's easy. And every time throughout the last 2,000 years that there has been persecution, there has been the church growing in China. And yet we have a lot of negative things about China as a whole right now with dealing what we're dealing with. But in China, where Christianity is not looked upon wonderfully, 35,000 people are committing themselves daily. In parts of Africa that have been ruled by Islamic extremists, there are people that are meeting secretly and giving their lives for the cause of Christ. We need to reach people. At times I get weary of the job as a pastor. You'll be with someone, you'll encourage them. They'll be in church, they'll go ahead, they'll seem like they're growing, and then their life gets easier and then they go off and do something else. Their life just takes a turn and something else becomes more important to them than their relationship with Christ. And it gets weary and you start to say to yourself, what in the world am I doing and why am I even bothering? And then you come back to this verse and you come back to the fact that people, if they want to pay for their own sins, are going to end up in this eternal damnation. And for me, I care too much about people. It's like this. Let's say that I had the cure to COVID-19. And I know what it is, and I've got it, and I have it in my hands. And I kept it to myself. And I watched people die around me. I watched people who I love die, people who I didn't know die. I see a pandemic around the world, and yet I have the antidote. You would say I'm harsh. You would say I'm cruel. You would say I'm selfish. And friends, let me tell you, this has been the church for the last century or so, where we have gone ahead and we've had the cure to sin for the last 2,000 years, and we've stopped making it a priority and giving it to other people. We're afraid they may think differently about us. We're afraid they may think that we're a religious fanatic. They may label us something. Maybe the only Jesus somebody's going to see is in you. In Jude chapter 1, it says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire. Save them. I want to thank all of you right now because I've said several times, I've been a pastor for almost 24, 25 years, and this is the most giving church I have ever seen. You continue to meet needs in our community and in our world. By a small group originally going to Haiti and God touching our hearts, all of you have connected to this ministry. You have changed communities and lives once and for all. You have made it possible for people to come to know Christ. You have snatched people from the fire and saved them by your giving. In Miriam's table, you are continually to give and you're going ahead and changing lives, feeding people and letting them know that there is a God who loves them. Through Operation Christmas Child, you are letting somebody who has nothing in the world receive a box that has something that in our world and in our country, we may see if our kids open it, they'd be like, this is it? But for them, it's everything. And it tells them that they have a God who loves them. And you've snatched them from the fire and you've saved them. In our own community, you're active in Parish Foundation and Community Kitchen. And some people who are just have nothing else in life, no hope, no anything, are being snatched from the fire by you giving of your time and your gift and your food to help them not worry about that day. Early on in our community right here where we had no recovery house, this church was instrumental in starting one of the first recovery houses for addiction in the county. And it came from you. Because you took seriously what Jesus said and what Paul said in Jude. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. You have snatched from the fire and saved many, and you should be proud of yourself. But don't get comfortable because there's so many more. Number two, we need to get focused on eternity. Anytime I've put faith or trust in something in the world, mostly I get let down. There's things that I want to work and things are all good and other times are not so good. In Titus 2:13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's tough to focus on Jesus when life challenges hit you. But we need to embrace that blessed hope that Jesus is coming again. This next verse from 2 Corinthians, I started to recognize that a lot of these verses I only use during funerals. And there's something wrong with that. But it says this, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I gotta say, my grandparents' age understood this. And some of you will understand what I mean. I remember as a kid, when my father was a pastor, we would have these things called family fellowship dinners, where we'd have a potluck dinner, and then we would all go upstairs, and they'd break out the old Cokesbury hymnal. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's like song words up here, but in a paper form. Okay, that's what a hymnal is. And we had the United Methodist hymnal there, but there was something about that old Cokesbury hymnal. And we would pull those out, and somebody would sit at the piano, or it might be a hymn sing, and you'd sit there, and as a young kid, maybe one of the youngest people that was there, there'd be some old lady who would yell out, "Let's sing in the garden." And they'd start, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." And we'd always start with that song. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. But it always came to something else in those old hymnals. And I began to look. Not only would they sing them, but most of the songs were not about God, me, God, I need you, God, I need you, God. They were more about me going to him. You had songs like "Some Glad Morning," "When This Life Is O'er," "I'll Fly Away to a Home on God's Celestial Shore," "I'll Fly Away." Or you had another one. "We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching onward to Zion, the beautiful city of God." Or you'd have a verse in the song, "Nearer my God to thee." Or the good old Southern gospel, "Beulah land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home will be eternal. Beulah land." You remember these songs? And the one I remember most, when people would get together, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." It wasn't, "Whoa, bad billows of smoke, bad hell, damnation, bad everything." No, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. They could not wait to sing. They could not wait to rejoice in Christ. No, it was when we all get to heaven. "Some Glad Morning," marching to Zion, Beulah land. A day of celebration. Why? Because Jesus is our King of kings and Lord of lords. And we need to focus on that. They understood that focus. And the third thing I want to share with you today is this. Simply this. Be ready. Be ready. In 2 Peter 3:10 through 12, this is right after Peter says, God is not willing that anyone should perish. And he says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." And since everything will be destroyed in this way, he asks a great question. What kind of people ought you to be? That's the question I want to ask us today, because Jesus is coming again. And if we look at the birth pains, the signs, it could be soon. So what kind of people ought we to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The prayer of the church from that early point and somewhere we got off should always be, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I'm going to ask that you remain still where you are, that you go ahead and you just listen as we lift up today, because today can alter your eternal destiny and destination. And my question to you is, what kind of person ought you to be? Because Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Have you received what Christ has offered through the cross of Jesus Christ? Don't stop there. Some of you may have said, yes, I've received it, but man, I have been disconnected. I'm not looking forward to heaven. I'm distracted by everything in this world. The news has me so distracted. I'm afraid. I'm all these things. But hey, don't stop there. Just receiving what Christ has given for you. Live for him. Reach and love others. And look forward to the day of the Lord where you can sing and shout the victory. In Jesus' mighty name. So right now, God, as we are sitting in our homes or we are together and we're joined in prayer, there are some people in the sound of my voice right now that are for the first time willing to make a commitment to say, all right, I'm going to accept the offer that you have for me. And God, all heaven's going to throw a party for them. They say, I need a Savior, and you're it. My life is not the way I figured it would be, and I've been trying to run this myself. There may be somebody who's been an active churchgoer that's been actively in ministry for all the years, but somehow it's just not there, and you're focusing too much on the world around you, and you've missed the point of kind of homesick for a country, which you'd never been before. Beulah Land, that great heaven, the presence with Christ. That God, you say, that some people are saying, hey, Jesus, I'm going to accept the offer that you have for me. And others have said, Lord, I want to go ahead and I want to renew my commitment to you. And I want this Holy Week to really be that for me. What person ought I to be? I ought to be a person who is living holy and godly lives. And I'm seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. And whatever happens in this world, whatever's going on around me, God, it's going to happen. And I've got to stop wanting to cling on to those things that I think are so important and look forward to a day where you return, where the old order of things pass away, where there's no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain, no more death, no more taxes, no more politics, no more traffic, no more of any of that stuff. But I just get to meet you in the air with all my loved ones who loved you too. And so God, today, I lift the people in the sound of my voice up to you. I lift this world up to you that is in so need of your restoration and your healing. And we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we ask this and claim this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, will forever be praised. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. As we close out our worship today, we're going to go ahead and sing together the song. I'm going to challenge you. Stand where you are. You can't sing. You can't worship as much if you're sitting down. But if you're able, stand right up in your living room. Get the cats and dogs up too. Get them to sing. Because Jesus said, if the people remain silent, then the rocks will cry out. So if your dog and rocks start going, let's just raise the roofs and give praise to God as we sing, Beneath the Waters, I Will Rise. There we go.
This is my revelation. Crazy.
salvation through repentance at the cross on which he died. Now here's my absolution, forgiveness for my sin. And I sink beneath the waters that Christ was buried in.
Isn't that awesome? I will rise that some glad morning when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. And what a day of rejoicing it will be when we all meet Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome to know that this is not it? That no matter what happens this week, no matter what happens in these days and weeks to come, that because of Good Friday and because of Easter, We have a resurrected Savior who ascended into heaven and said, hey, I'm coming back to get you. And he is coming back. That's who Jesus is. He's loving, he's merciful, and he's waiting. And he's saying, one more, one more. This week, reach somebody. Tell them about the love of Jesus. It's the perfect time. Why is it the perfect time? Because we are going to celebrate this week, Good Friday, him giving his life up for us at 7 o'clock. Join us online. And also, we're going to celebrate Easter. And I was thinking about this. I haven't even told anybody. You're going to be the first people to know this. Easter, reason why we celebrate on Sunday, church, and not Saturday like the Jewish people did, is because the resurrection occurred on a Sunday. And so every time we're to come together is supposed to be an Easter celebration. When we are able to come together, we are going to have an Easter Sunday celebration.